Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Billy Graham told an audience of 116,000 persons, "There is a decay of religion." "Oh, we go to church," said Graham. "We believe in God, but we serve Him only with our lips. We play at being Christians." In previous messages, he warned that as a free nation, we may be finished. Our days are numbered. "The hourglass is already turned over," said Graham. Well, Dwight L. Moody, perhaps America's greatest evangelist, declared in his day that revival was necessary if America was to continue as a republic. Some 60 years ago, Moody observed, "It seems to me that every patriot, every man who loves his country, ought to be anxious that the Church of God should be quickened and revived." "In fact," said Moody, "there is nothing I am more concerned about just now than that God should revive His Church in America." Well, if Moody was convinced of the need of revival in his day, how much more desperately we need revival in our day. There are many, however, that believe the days of revival are fast coming to a close. For instance, the Gallup poll, reflecting on the decline of religious interest and waning church attendance in America, declares, quote, "The end of the nation's post-war religious revival may be in sight." Well, for one moment, we would not attempt to dispute facts and figures to back up this assertion. However, it is our conviction that what we have seen during this post-war era has not been revival, but rather just a keen interest in religion. We have seen a noticeable interest in evangelism, but have not witnessed revival. In certain areas, there has been something of a spiritual awakening, but few places have seen revival. And yet from the Scriptures we are led to believe we are on the verge of one of the greatest revivals this world has ever seen. This will not be a revival among the unsaved, for the Bible tells us at the time of the end, evil men shall wax worse and worse. This is not a revival particularly among the established churches, for many shall have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. This revival will come to individual Christians within the churches. It will be a revival of holy living, of judging sin from one's life, of preparing for the soon coming of Jesus. Now, this does not mean that our Lord will delay His coming just so we can have revival. Actually, from the Scriptures, we are led to believe this revival results largely from the great multitude of those who were anticipating Christ's return, but who were unprepared, left behind when that event came. Faced with the awful fact of impending judgment, they will forsake their sin and call upon God for mercy, but still will have to endure the awful sufferings and deprivations of the tribulation. From the Scriptures, we would learn that it is God's purpose to present unto Himself a spotless bride, a glorious church without wrinkle or blemish. Thus, of necessity, a revival must come to the church if believers are to be ready for the soon coming of our blessed Lord. J. Hudson Taylor, founder of the China Inland Mission, once said, quote, "I am convinced that there will be a great spiritual awakening which will usher in the second coming of the Lord." Similarly, Alexander White, one of the truly eminent scholars of the last century, testified, quote, "I may not live to see it, but the day will come when there will be a great revival in the whole world. Did you hear it?" Beloved, read the 25th chapter of Matthew. Here our Lord tells the story of the 10 virgins, a parable related to His coming. We read how the bridegroom tarried and all 10 virgins slumbered and slept. Somehow this is a picture of the complacency of the church. But suddenly there is a cry made. It is the midnight hour, and all 10 virgins are awakened by the announcement that they hear, "The bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet Him." Ah, hear me, beloved. I feel as though these are days which are already upon us. The Spirit of God is moving across the length and breadth of this land, awakening and stirring believers to the soon coming of Jesus. Then we read, All those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Did you hear it? That's revival. There's coming what the Bible calls a lamp-trimming time. Notice also, not only did these virgins begin to trim their lamps, they became concerned about their supply of oil. The wise virgins in particular made sure they carried with them additional vessels which contained oil to replenish the supply needed to keep their lamps burning brightly. Well, may I ask today, are you conscious of the tremendous interest in the work of the Spirit of God in our day? Oil is symbolic of the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Scriptures would convince us that in addition to receiving Christ as Savior, we need to surrender wholly to Him as Lord, and thus know something of the control of the Spirit of God in our lives. Do you believe it? Call the experience what you will. Readiness for Christ's return demands an encounter with the Holy Spirit. The foolish virgins who missed the bridegroom referred to Him as their Lord. But the Bible says that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Many with their preconceived ideas will no doubt reject this message. Nevertheless, it is true that some who call themselves Christians, who sing gospel songs and choruses about the coming of Jesus, will miss the event we call the rapture. In tragedy of tragedies, they will regret a million times over that they were unprepared for Christ's coming as they are thrust into the awful great tribulation. Well, Jesus taught that we were to watch and pray always, that we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Are you watching? Are you praying? Are you ready should Jesus come today? In Luke chapter 12, our Lord declares, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching." Then He goes on to relate the story of the servant who says in his heart, "My Lord delayeth His coming," and he begins to live carelessly. The Lord of that servant, said Jesus, will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and cut him in sunder. The margin says, "cut him off," and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Again, may I ask, did you hear it? Jesus says concerning that servant who prepared not himself, he would be left behind with unbelievers. We'll now turn back again to the book of Revelation, where pictured for us are several groups of believers, which represent, we believe, all of the host of tribulation saints. In chapter 5, we read of a group John sees in heaven. They are singing praises to the Lamb. They are rejoicing as the redeemed out of every kindred and tongue and nation. Apparently, these are the raptured saints, of whom it is said they are kings and priests unto God, and who will reign upon earth with Him. In chapter 6, there's a second group, those of whom it is said white robes were given unto every one of them. Now, in Scripture, a robe speaks of righteousness. And it would seem that these are they who are saved during the tribulation time. Refusing to bow to Antichrist, they are martyred, slain for the word of God, and for their testimony that Jesus is indeed the Christ. Well, then there's a third group, the Jewish remnant, the 144,000 out of all of the tribes of Israel that will be saved during this time of tribulation. Well, finally, there is shown to us a fourth group. Lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. In somewhat consternation and bewilderment, one of the elders asks, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Where did they come from?" The reply is heard, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Ah, hear me today. Here was a multitude of believers that John did not expect to see. He did not know they existed. Now, if you have a Scofield Bible, you read concerning this group, they are Gentiles who are to be saved during the great tribulation. But the Scripture tells us these aren't given white robes, such as the earlier group. But rather, during the time of the great tribulation, they wash their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. There is only one logical and reasonable explanation, That is the sad fact that a great multitude will be unprepared and left behind when Jesus comes. Many whose robes were spotted, defiled by fleshly lusts, stained with worldliness, soiled with careless living. It is said concerning these, they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. My friends, it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin, but it's not something that's automatic. We must renounce our sin. We must repent of our sin. We must forsake our sin if we are to be forgiven and ready for the coming of Jesus. And how many consider their sin lightly? They sin willfully and repeatedly, thinking that the little nightly prayer will find the Lord forgiving them, when actually they have no intention of forsaking their sins. The Bible says if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking forward to of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Ah, God is loving, and God is forgiving. But the tribulation will mark the end of God's patience and the beginning of His judgment. Amidst the physical sufferings of the tribulation, many will forsake their sins and call upon God for mercy. Shocked, surprised, and saddened at being left behind, you will find in the midst of this tribulation time one of the greatest revivals the world has ever known. How sad for anyone to miss the rapture. Especially to those of you who hear this message today, we would urge you to repent of sin and find victory over sin through the indwelling Spirit. Indeed, be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a podcast of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.